All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I just come before you right now, Lord God, as your humble servant. Lord, I ask that you would fill me up with your words, with your power, Lord God. Lord, I ask that if there's anything here today on these pages, Lord God, that's not from you, Lord, that you would just remove it, Lord. God, I just believe you by faith that this is what you have to speak to your people today, Lord. God, I ask that you would just open the hearts of your people. Lord, that you would be high and lifted up in this message, Lord God. Lord, that you would be seen today, Lord. And that no one here, Lord God, no one after hearing this message would be the same. That they would receive what it is that you have for them today. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today is Save Yourself. And you think about that and you're like, well, man cannot save himself or deliver himself from sin. It must be the work of God by his Spirit that will save you. Before you can have dominion over sin, you must want to be free from that sin. You must see the exceedingly sinfulness of sin, the wickedness and sin, and how it has brought such guilt and ruin in your life. Sin also affects your family and those around you. God must bring you to the end of yourself and all of your human efforts to break you, so that the only hope that you have is in Christ Jesus, the one who was born, who died, and was resurrected, and who is seated at the right hand of God the Father. You must stop trying to fight this on your own and trying to save yourself. Listen to me. Listen to me today. Lay down your pride. Turn away from sin and come by faith to the cross as a dead man. There's so many times I hear a message preached and I see people squirming in their seats and I know that God's speaking to them. And afterwards, there's an altar call. Pastor offers to pray for people and they get up and grab their stuff and they're the first one out the door. Don't let that be any one of you today. Why would God want to do such a thing, to have us come to the cross, to lay our pride and turn away from sin and come to the cross as a dead man? Why would God want that? Because you need a Savior and you can't save yourself. God wants you to come to the cross as a dead man, so by faith you will accept Christ Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you'll cast yourself into His hands, and He will set you free. He will set you free. We have the Ten Commandments, which represents the moral law, God's purity, God's righteousness, and His standards. No man or woman in their own strength can possibly measure up to God's standards or God's law. Let's take a look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. I'll just briefly go through these here. You can turn there if you like to Exodus 20. The first one, you shall have no other gods before me. That's a tough one right there. Two, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Five, honor your father and mother. Six, you shall not murder. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. 8, you shall not steal. 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. That's a whole lot right there. And we know in the New Testament there's so many more meanings to what God is speaking to us right here in these Ten Commandments. God holds us to higher standards in the New Testament. And if you live up to 9 of these 10, you are still guilty and you've broken the law of God. Turn to Matthew 19:16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Because he didn't care about the things of God as much as he cared about the things of this world. He was gripped by the things of this world. He thought because he was a good person and was doing all of these things that he had all of his ducks in a row. And when Jesus said, "Sell all of your wealth, sell all of your worldly stuff, all the stuff that you have, get rid of it and follow after me." He was sorrowful. He was sorrowful and went away because he had great possessions. When he had the chance, when he had life standing right in front of him. And so often we'll be faced with life right in front of us and we'll turn back to the world. Don't do it. Be steadfast. Stay on the straight and narrow. Don't allow the enemy to take you away, to go on that path. You can pray, you can go to church on Sunday, but if you have any idolatry in your heart, you have a curse on your life. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Not one here is exempt. Not one. You need a Savior because you can't save yourself. Not one of us. Why would God make a covenant that he knew no one person can fulfill? It's the only way that God could get you to see your weakness and bring you to the end of yourself, to the end of your own strength. God wants you to die to self, to selfishness. God wants to bring you to a place of death, to a place where you know there's nothing you can do and nothing on this earth can save you. Nothing on this earth can save you. He wants to bring you to a place where there's no hope in self to save your soul. Now, if you're sitting here today and your heart is hard and you want to continue to walk in your rebellious sin, I pray that God will have mercy and compassion on you and that you will see the destruction of your sin and the repercussions of it. We often don't realize the repercussions of sin. But as I was praying and seeking the Lord and reading in the Word, I thought about when Cain sinned. He wasn't the only one affected by that sin. The sin killed his brother. Let me tell you, more times than we know that our rebellious sin does the same thing. It will kill the people around us. It will draw them away. It could be your brother. It could be your wife. It could be your children. It could be your friend. It could be the unbeliever that had a chance for salvation, that they were right there ready to give their life to Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And then your rebellious sin casts them away. You will be accountable for that. Our sin has repercussions. Don't sit here and allow the enemy to harden your heart. Allow Christ Jesus to break up the hard ground and soften it. Let me ask you, do you want to continue with the sin-sick soul separated from God? Or do you want to be separated from God? God has so much plan for each and every person here today. That's why you're here today. Cry out to God and He will give you victory over sin. God will take the guilt away. God will commune with you and give you power and authority over sin that you can have victory over the sin that has kept you in bondage. How do you react when you sin? You know that sin that you struggle with? How do you react? Do you cry? Do you say, God, I promise I'll never do it again, Lord. I've been guilty. Or do you blame God for not giving you the power to overcome that sin that you struggle with? This is your flesh hanging on to your own will, not the will of God. It's not God's will that you continue to walk in sin. Our will must die. God won't make you strong that you can overcome sin. He will show you that you're weak and that you need Him. And when you confess Him as your Lord and Savior, He will deliver you from sin. Cry out to God and say, God, I confess my total inability to obey your commandments. I acknowledge there's no good in me. God, I surrender to you. I come as a dead man. Forgive me for striving and trying to fix this myself. I trust in you, Lord, and I confess that I can't do this. Lord, I confess I want to be delivered from this sin and this bondage that has held me and kept me captive. I confess Jesus is my Lord and Savior. God will empower you with the Holy Spirit to overcome sin and be delivered from bondage. Psalm 11 and 12 says, so great is His mercy toward those that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Hear God's word. Hear God's word today. For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. But God doesn't want to leave you there. Turn back to Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, like I mentioned. But it continues. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because of His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Why? To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Amen. As Mark mentioned, most people know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? God so loves you and me that He sent Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus was crucified for you. It's not some storybook tale, and this has always been on my heart. Every time I talk about this, I have to say, it's not just some story that we read in a book. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born, was sinless, lived a sinless life, was beaten and bruised and spit on and punished and abused for our sins so that each one of us could have life. John 19:34 says, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. This was the sinless blood that was shed for you and me that we might be saved. This is the blood that we confess that covers us. That you would be free from sin and bondage and receive everlasting life. Let's turn to Acts 3:25. To see God's promise in the new covenant when you accept Jesus as your Savior. You are the sons and prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. How is this a blessing? Because Jesus takes away your iniquities and removes them as far as the east is from the west and sets you free from your sin. Brothers and sisters, you need to hear this today. In Luke 23:34, Jesus intercedes on behalf of the people he's talking about. And this is what he says. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. You today know the sin in your heart. You know what is holding you back. You know what sin is keeping you from God. You know what God is speaking to your heart today. God desires to set you free. God desires you to get up and run the race. God desires you to get serious and receive the victory over that sin that God has promised you. When you accept Jesus, we're no longer under the bondage of sin and we are victorious. If you're willing to come to Him by faith, you will have dominion over sin by faith. As I close, I ask if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or if you've backslidden and need prayer, or if God is speaking to you, that you would come forward and receive prayer or go to the altar and do business with God. But God doesn't want anyone here to leave the same. I'm going to close in prayer. If there's anyone that wants prayer, if God spoke to your heart and you want to do business with God, I just invite you to come up to the altar and do business with God. But God has something for you. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for this message. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, who rose again against powers and principalities. I thank you for the promise that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I thank you for your power and your strength to change lives. Lord, I ask that you would just speak to the hearts of your people and not one would leave the same. In Jesus' name, amen.